on.
Good evening. I'm Robert Schuller, and I want to welcome all of you to the call, which is part of the Robert Schuller Ministries, a church with no walls. It's the 15th of February. Yesterday was Valentine's Day. And as a result of it being the 15th, it is time for the call. And so we're glad you're joining us, as this is definitely one of our favorite days where we can get together and we can do it on phone. And we also have on Facebook Live. And so we're going to read the Bible. We're going to pray. We're going to talk about the impact that our faith has on our lives and on the lives of others. And so we often interview inspiring guests. And tonight we've got a great friend, a gentleman who I've worked with in the past and was a dear friend for decades. Since I've known him longer than I've known Donna.
That's right.
So anyway, we're going to be introducing him later. But Donna and I are here to give you the mid-month encouragement and to remind you that if you continue to surrender your life to God and trust the outcome of any situation, you'll experience God's good and perfect will for your life.
Yes, you will, indeed. This is Donna Schuller, and thank you for joining Robert and I on this call, The Call, which is a telephone gathering held on the 15th of each month at 6 p.m. Pacific time. We've been hosting The Call for over 5 years now. We've never missed a call on the 15th of the month, even though we lead a pretty crazy schedule sometimes. We pastor, we minister to people all over the globe. We're in lots of different time zones.
Excuse me.
You okay? Excuse me. And we're also broadcasting live now. We're on a conference line, and we've been doing that for 5 years. We've been on Facebook now since last spring, so we're coming up on the first year of Facebook Live. And this has been a lot of fun, too. No matter where we have to set up our little studio. So you can see here, we're in this small little setting with our camera out there. The lighting isn't so good here, but I think, you know, you can see us. So we are just so grateful to be with you. Like Robert said, this is one of our favorite times of every month, the 15th at 6 p.m. Pacific. Now, remember, we do take questions at the end of our discussion with our guests tonight, and all you'll have to do is to push the star and the number 6 on any of your keyboards. Now, if you're on Facebook Live, we'll just have to answer your questions after this call because the camera is on the other side of the room. We can't even read the questions. We can't see who's on. We can see hearts and likes and things like that kind of flying by, but we can't really see any details. So anyway, we would like to start by prayer because this is to come to God in prayer during this call. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time where Robert and I can open our lives and our hearts to people from all over the globe. We oftentimes have amazing guests that adds interest and another dimension to this call, Lord, and you always bring the right person, the exact right person at the right time. So tonight we have a wonderful guest. I ask right now that you would be in his heart and in his being completely 100% as he gets ready to share with us in just a little while and about a very serious subject that I know touches your heart, God, and it breaks your heart, actually, the subject of addiction. So, Lord, we just thank you for this evening. We thank you for the people out there that are joining us from all over the globe. And we just praise you and we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen and amen and amen.
Amen.
So I want to read a little scripture because this is, in effect, a church service because wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'll be also, says the Spirit of God. It tells us that in the Bible. And Donna and I are here and you're there and we're connected through this medium called Facebook. So even though we aren't physically together, we are together spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. I can't, if you're crying, I can't see that. If I'm crying, you can see that, but I'm not. I'm happy. And so anyway, we try to communicate this way, and we try to connect. And if you wish to connect with Don and I, we really don't pay a lot of attention to our Facebook communications, but we do pay attention to our emails. And we let me share you our give you our email address. It's Robert@SchulerMinistries.org and Donna@SchulerMinistries.org. So again, if you wish to communicate with us, the best way to do that is Robert@SchulerMinistries.org or Donna@SchulerMinistries.org, and we'll get back to you just as soon as we possibly can. You know, this isn't the best quality as far as production is concerned, but it's real, it's raw, and it gets the message across, and hopefully it works for you. So I'm going to start right now by reading some Bible texts. I've been pulling out some of my favorite texts throughout the week when I run across things in my Bible reading, and I'm going to start by reading a couple passages from the Psalms. My first one is going to be Psalm 51, verses 15 through 17. Then I'm going to follow that up with Psalm 52, 8, 9, and then conclude with Corinthians 10, 13. So I'm just going to put them all together. So hear these words of the Lord from the Old and New Testament. Help me to speak, Lord, and I will praise you. You do not want sacrifices, or I would offer them. You are not pleased with burnt offerings. My sacrifice is a humble spirit, O God. You will not reject a humble and a repentant heart. I am like an olive tree growing in the house of God. I trust in his constant love forever and ever. I will always thank you, God, for what you have done. In the presence of your people, I will proclaim that you are good. No temptation has overtaken me except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let me be tempted beyond what I can bear. But when we are tempted, you will also provide a way out so that we can endure it. Now, I changed the tense in that last verse. Now, the verse is one of the first verses. Corinthians 10:13 is one of the very first verses I learned as a very young child in my Bible memorizations. And this was definitely the longest one I memorized.
Yeah, that's a long one.
Yeah, for a child, for yes. A kid. And, yeah, I was very proud of the fact that I was able to do that one. But so it's no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. And I just made it personal to flow with the Psalms. But the fact is that this is what the Bible tells us. And this is what we understand is that temptations come, temptations go. And with it, we have the ability, the God-given ability, be able to overcome the temptations. As the psalmist says, I am like an olive tree. Now, olive tree, they live to be hundreds of years old. If you go to the Holy Land, you can see olive trees that were in the Mount of Olives that were there 2,000 years ago when Jesus was on the Mount of Olives. They lived thousands of years, literally. The wood of the olive tree is an exceptionally hard wood. It is strong. It has the ability to withstand incredible storms and fires and everything else. That's the only way a tree can last. Go through fire. It has to go through earthquakes. It has to go amazing things. The olive tree has an unbelievable root structure. And as a result of that, you can cut the olive tree down to the ground, and it will grow back up again, unlike other trees. Like a pine tree, you cut that thing down, and it's dead. It's gone. And most trees are that way. But the olive tree, it'll grow back. So you can't kill it by cutting it down. You have to take it out by the roots. The root structures go deep down into the ground. So you might think you have it, but it can come back up again. And the olive tree bears one of the most precious fruits that we have on planet Earth today. The olive has healing properties like we can't explain. We use it in, for spiritual things. We use it the olive for anointing. We use the olive for eating. We use it for enjoyment. It's one of the great fats that we can have to nourish our body and our minds in ways that we can't imagine. So here it is. I am like an olive tree growing in the house of the Lord. What a great analogy, isn't it? We are like olive trees. We're strong. We have the ability to withstand the tempests that come. We have the strength provided by God to be able to, the innate ability within our bodies to be able to withstand this stuff. And what we can really withstand more than we can is the temptations that come on a regular basis. Some of the earlier passages in Corinthians and in the Psalms talks about the temptations of idolatry. And the temptation of idolatry is not the temptation to put a Buddha in your house or some other thing that looks like a decoration. We don't worship those things. What we worship is that which commands our attention, which grabs our soul, and takes our free will and our strength away from us. Those temptations would be to alcohol, the addictions to sex, the addictions to gambling, the addictions to spending, and what were you going to say, Donna?
Food,
the addiction to food. And of all of those, I think food is the most difficult because we have to eat. You can't just go cold turkey. And so I'd say the addiction to eating disorders, the any of those things before God, then we've made those an idol. And so one of the greatest temptations we have is to overcome the idols that we create in our life and turn them over to God. For there has no temptation that is overtaken you, which is not uncommon to man. And God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But with that temptation, he'll provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it like the olive tree that you are. So that's my little, 2-minute message.
I like that.
Tonight.
That was great.
Today.
That was great. We got something out of that. Thank you.
Good.
Very much. So do you want to talk a little bit about the guests that we have tonight, and maybe our interest in the subject, and that kind of a thing?
Well, absolutely. I'm trying to think where I'll start. I think I'll start by introducing Chris because I want to talk to Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Chris is a psychologist. His full name is Christopher Nippers. And I know him as Chris. I don't know him as Dr. Chris, even though a lot of people may call him and know him as Dr. Chris. But I know him as Chris because I've known him for so many years. And like I said, he's a dear friend. He's a psychologist, an author with over 30 years experience helping addicts and their families find healing and new life. The major portion of his career in addiction treatment was working directly with the late Betty Ford at her Betty Ford Center in Rancho Mirage, California. He now does private consultations and writes, living during the cool months in Palm Springs and retreating to the beach in the summer. And so it's a pleasure to have Chris with us. But before we bring him on the line, Don, you've just finished reading his book, so I haven't had a chance. She's hogged it. She's kept it to
herself. I have. I've been going over it. I like to make notes in books and things that are very helpful to me, to friends and family. I dog ear it and everything else. But basically, we're interviewing Chris because we're going to be talking about his new book, Filling the Void, How to Overcome Addictions. And as I hold it up here in Facebook, I know it always comes up backwards. I think it's probably backwards.
But yeah, it's a mirror image.
At least you'll see a picture of it. And, you can read backwards, can't you? anyway, it's Filling the Void. And this is a great book. The first of all, he talks about 12 happy, successful people, people who have overcome their addictions and how they did that. So that basically the first part of the book, almost all of it until the end, is just sharing of personal testimonies of how people came. And then what I really like is what he did in the conclusion, and he talks about in chapter 13, shared characteristics of successful recovery. So we're going to be talking to Chris now. We're going to be asking him about we have some questions for him. We're, you know, this is a big subject, and Robert already mentioned what people fill their voids with, and there's things that you should be filling your voids with. You know, life is a vacuum. We've all heard that. So you're going to fill it with something. So I can't wait to talk to Chris, and I'm going to put this book right here, and later we'll ask him how we can order this book as well. So, Chris, are you there?
Yes, indeed.
Push the button.
Yes.
Hi. People aren't going to be able to hear you unless I put the phone over here.
Okay.
So I'm going to put it as close to the camera as I can, and hopefully they can hear you.
And we'll talk really loud.
And so if you can speak up, we'd really appreciate it.
But hi, Chris.
If I didn't bring my microphone, that makes that work a little better. But,
okay.
And hopefully this works.
Yes.
All right.
So welcome, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you for writing this book, Chris. We look forward to asking you some questions on filling the void.
So what are the causes of addiction?
Well, it really is nowadays called a disease, a medical disease, actually literally a brain disease. There's a lot of research that shows significant differences between the brains of people who are addicts or who later become addicts versus people who don't. What we know for a fact is that addicts' brains function primarily from the center portion of the brain, which is the portion that controls emotions and impulses. So they're kind of more impulsive, more emotional, and the frontal part of the brain, the external cortex of the brain, isn't firing quite as accurately as it needs to make rational, logical decisions. So they have to work pretty hard to rewire their brain. And they do that through sobriety and through practicing spiritual principles, which is primarily through the 12 steps, but of course, there are many ways to practice spiritual principles, but that's really the basic cause. Now, the brain gets those brain activities that really fire up the cravings for drugs or alcohol or other drugs, as I say, because alcohol is a drug. Those cravings get set up through stress and trauma in a person's life, which we all experience. So that kind of weakens the person's brain functioning, and then they start craving a substance to fill the void. So that's pretty much the cause.
I think that, you know, that those latest studies are just incredible, and I'm pretty sure that gives family members some cause for relief in knowing, yes, their loved one or maybe perhaps themselves that struggles with substance abuse disorder, they actually do have a biochemical / physiological reason for it in, in these cases where they can prove that there's something a little bit different about their brain. And I like that because it really does support the disease model, which I've adhered to, I believe, for many, many years, Chris. And this is just, you know, it's great news. I mean, I'm sure there's probably people out there listening that are like, wow, I've never heard that before. My son, my daughter, my husband, my wife, my friend, actually has a different brain than I have. So
right.
it's a little more empathy.
It gives the more understanding and empathy for the addict. It also gets parents and spouses off the hook. I know this sounds kind of like dark humor, but I often tell parents of addicts, you may have been a bad parent, but you didn't cause the addiction, you know. Parenting can't cause addiction. Good parenting or bad parenting cannot cause addiction.
Just like good parenting or bad parenting doesn't cause cancer.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So is there a difference between alcoholism and other addictions?
I really personally do not believe so. There are alcoholics, primarily alcoholics, who disagree with me pretty strongly. But I believe medical science supports the idea. I mean, as I said, alcohol is a drug. There is no dispute about that in anybody's mind. But alcohol is definitely a drug. It's the most lethal drug. We think opiates are the most lethal drug, but alcohol actually causes much more death than opiates do, although opiates are getting a lot of attention, and there is indeed an epidemic of opiate addiction, but there's also an epidemic of alcohol addiction, and people are kind of ignoring that. There's a tremendous amount of research now.
Is it the same, or would you treat it differently?
No, we treated at Betty Ford and other places where I worked. We have always treated the alcoholics and the addicts together, and they're suffering from the same brain disorder. It's just that some people feel better on alcohol than they do on any other drug. I was always trying to be cool in college, and so I tried several things, and I just couldn't feel good on anything. So I really was never cool in college.
That's a good thing for you, isn't it?
It's a very good thing that I never felt good not being in total control of my brain. But my point is, not to bring the subject to me again, but the point really is that people feel good on different substances. I mean, some people love pasta, some people love steak. I mean, it's just, you know, and it's the same with the drug world. I mean, some people just want the alcohol, some people just want the opiates, some people want the downers, they want the Valiums and the Xanax and whatever. So, that's just basically it. It's all the same. It's all affecting the same part of the brain.
Well, thank you for that. And you know what? The next question I have for you, I think, is probably the most significant so far. And that is, you know, I read your chapter, like I said, in the back where you kind of pull the whole book together, all the different testimonies, and tell us based on, you know, scientific studies and your years of study and your personal experience with your clients and patients, why are some people able to overcome addiction? We all know them, and we also all know those who have tried for years, and they cannot overcome their addictions. And what I want to ask you about specifically is what you call, in a subtitle at the back of the book, profound human connection, and those are those soul connections, or what the author, researcher Martin S. Buber, is that how you pronounce his last name?
Yeah, Martin Buber wrote a classic book called I and Thou, and it's kind of required reading in a lot of colleges, and was in mine, but for all the students. But anyway, it's a classic book that explores what those really, really meaningful relationships in our lives are, what they actually consist of, how to reach that point with a person, and then the effect of that meaningful relationship. And I did find that was the starting common factor in every single person's life that I interviewed. And I'm, of course, I interviewed a lot more than 12 people in my 30-year career. But I chose these 12 as a representative sample. And, they all have in common that somehow in the haze of their addiction and their brain malfunctioning and everything else in their life going haywire, their body, their relationships, everything, somehow somebody was able to reach out and get breakthrough all those defenses and see the true essence of the person's soul inside that addict. And when that person broke through those defenses and saw the soul, they started treating the person differently, speaking to the person differently. And it is a God-guided thing. We don't do it on human power, but when we just open ourselves up to really listen to a person and the essence of what they're saying and feeling and thinking, we begin to see a glimmer of their soul inside, no matter what they are, and on the surface. And God then enters the relationship and works magic. I don't know any other way to put it. Just magic happens.
Yeah, it's miraculous. It's what God does. He heals, doesn't he?
Exactly. And, God slowly,
throughout the New Testament, we see Jesus going and healing people and asking people if they want to be healed. And the amount of healing he did is we can't even begin to fathom. People touched his cloaks, it says, and as he walked through the crowd and were healed. And the lame started to walk, and the blind could see, and the deaf could hear, and the mute could speak. And the people suffering from hemorrhages were healed, and people who had palsies were healed, and the demon-possessed were healed. Everywhere he went, he healed people. And I don't think that was only during the time of Jesus. I think it began in the time of Jesus, and that God continues to heal. And it's very clear, like you said, when two or more are gathered together, that's where God comes and he creates healing, and he does.
Absolutely.
Do you see any other potentials of recovery?
Absolutely. I want to just read a sentence, one sentence out of the book that I just loved. I didn't come up with these words. I'm quoting an anonymous source, but you don't recover from addiction by stopping using. You recover by creating a new life where it is easier not to use. If you don't create a new life, then all the factors that brought you to addiction will eventually catch up to you again. And that kind of goes along with what you were saying. Jesus would ask
people. Thank you for reading
that.
Touched me.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing.
Those are powerful words, because we often say, you know, accepting Christ into your life gives you new life, you know, creates a new life. And that's not just some euphemism about, oh boy, I see things differently now. It's like you literally start living a new life. And my people in this particular study affirmed that they certainly didn't, estrange themselves from their parents or their spouses and create a new life that way. But they did estrange themselves from anybody who used drugs excessively, and would not have anything to do with their very best friends. And some did have to separate and divorce their spouses who were still
right.
using excessively. And they just had to create everything new. And part of that was developing a rich, rich spiritual life, which was another very common factor with every single person who's been successful. They have a rich, rich relationship with God. And most of them in a traditional sense, and by traditional, I mean, you know, a Christian sense of the word relationship with God. But there, I did interview people who were not traditional Christians, and still through meditation, prayer to a higher power, as they say, a sort of a universal higher power, they have been able to maintain this new life. So it requires
well,
that.
We're going to open the phone lines for questions. And the best way for Donna and I to get, which may seem very odd to you, but you can see the number here. It's 641-715-3. Dial that number. You'll be asked for the code, and when asked, enter the number 642-848 and then the pound sign. That will put you on our call, and once you get on there, you hit the *6, and you can ask a question, and you'll be live, and everybody will be able to hear you, and so we have some. Those of you who wish to participate in the call and ask some questions, you can do that. And while we open the phone lines for calls, I want to ask you again, Chris, because you said absolutely, and that was, do you see other essentials of recovery? And you said yes, but I didn't hear necessarily the answers.
Yes. Well, it did, you know, again, to recap, the human connection that is very, very meaningful and deep, then through that, a relationship with God often forms, always forms. And then the person maintains that relationship with God and others. Then through all of that process, you know, they have to forgive themselves and forgive their past. I love that you used that scripture about the olive tree, because so many times people recover from addiction and are overwhelmed with guilt and shame for what they've done. And people do horrible things when they're using drugs, and they have a hard time getting past that. So they have to learn to forgive themselves and then forgive others who have harmed them, literally.
A lot of them come
from abuse. Beg pardon?
We have a question. Somebody's been waiting in the queue.
Oh,
and
okay.
You're gonna know who this person is, which is interesting.
Well, they probably can't hear, so we'll probably have to.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to relay, probably. So, hello, are you there? Hello?
Who's
hello?
Somebody, I can't read.
There we go. It's my mom, Chris. I know you're having a problem
with him.
Oh, cool. Oh, yay. No, are you there? Mom, you're unmuted. The Q&A is on and you're unmuted. So I don't know. Unmute your phone. Make sure your phone's not on mute.
Are you there, Linnell?
Darn. This happened to you last month. Well, okay. So let's continue to talk.
So let me ask another question.
Wait, I think she's on. Are you on? Hello?
It's coming and going. Sorry.
Hello?
About that.
Mom?
Why is she in blue there?
Because I'm trying to engage her in the questions. I'm on my control panel. Oh, gosh. I know she probably has a great question. you know, in a psych hospital. She was a psych nurse for a long time and worked with people in addiction at Capo by the Sea.
Well, anyway, while Donna tries to figure that
out.
Can
you hear me?
I want to ask some...
Oh, yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Woo!
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I can hear you.
Whoa. Hi, Dr. Damon. It's so nice to hear you. You know, I just love you because you took care of Christina and you took care of my sister, Betty. But I was at Capo by the Sea at the alcohol rehab as a charge nurse. And I found so many people that I could not reach because they had not reached themselves. So I really enjoyed what you said tonight. You know, people have to want to reach themselves and to give themselves over and take care of themselves. And so many people do not because they've been forced into treatment. So thank you for enlightening me. I'm no longer at Capo by the Sea, but I have several people that I deal with that are alcoholics. And thank you. I love you, and you are such a brilliant doctor. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. To address what you're saying, that is a real point in the treatment world. We often said that a person just simply has to be willing to recover from addiction and in order for it to work. But we have recently seen people who have been forced into treatment and just literally had no other option in life other than death or prison, and it took years, but somebody persistently trying finally got through to them. And but there are a few cases where the person really comes in unwilling and saying, I don't want to give these up, and they manage to. So there's hope for everybody, I guess.
Yes, sir.
So, Chris, what can families and friends do to help someone who is hopelessly addicted?
Well, first of all, they need every bit as much support in their lives, actually more maybe than the addict does. Being a close friend or family member requires a 12-step program for them too. They have to learn that they are powerless over addiction, that they have to turn their lives over to a higher power, and that they have to learn that they are not the higher power and they can't control the addiction. They didn't cause it, they didn't control it, and they can't cure it. The three C's we used to teach them at the family program at Betty Ford. You can't cause it, control it, or cure it. And they have to really, really learn that and start not enabling the addict. A very dear friend of mine, who's a famous psychiatrist and a pioneer in the field of addiction, Dr. Joseph Persh, who lives in Laguna Beach, he says that without enablers, in other words, that's somebody who kind of picks up the pieces for the addict when they screw up, without enablers, there would be no addicts.
Interesting.
And, yeah, I believe. Sure.
Yeah. So the family member has to learn to quit, learn how they're enabling the addict, and then stop it and take care of themselves. And in that process, often that's when the magic happens. The addict learns, oops, I'm responsible for myself. I better do something because nobody's picking up the pieces anymore. And that's like step one for the family member. Get to that place.
So, Chris, how do people get your book?
Oh, it's on Amazon.com. It says takes 3 minutes to get on the website. Type in Filling the Void, How to Overcome Addiction, and press add this to my cart.
There you go.
Add this to my card. And here it is, Filling the Void, How to Overcome Addiction. And I highly recommend this book. It's a really, I mean, it's a weird thing to say, but it's a pleasurable read. It really is.
Well, it's inspiring. Those people so inspired me. Yeah, you know, they had such amazing attitudes, and it ministered to me, especially that woman who said, when something bad happens in my life, I never ask, why me? But how can I become a better person through this? That really, I went, whoa, she's talking to me. You know, I better learn that lesson instead of saying, why me?
All of us can learn from that. I would like to see if there's any more questions. I'm going to go ahead and do a little, we have a couple announcements for this call, and then we'll come back to you here. I've got the questions open for a little while I give people a ministry update. Reminding people, we do have a site called schulerhelp.org where you can go on there and reach out to us. We still get emails and occasionally phone calls where people are just desperate for help, and we can refer them to you, Chris. And anyway, we have this website, schulerhelp.org. And, you know, I know what I wanted to say to people, too. We're expanding our ministry very shortly to be including a daily podcast where we will discuss relevant issues. So stay tuned for that. Robert and I just returned from the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. That was held on February 6th. We were there all week because it's not just the breakfast is on Thursday morning where the president was there, President of the United States, that is, and he's been there for the last 66 years. So figure it out. There's been a lot of presidents that have attended this National Prayer Breakfast. It's nonpartisan. It was a wonderful experience. We always take a few guests with us, and we use this as an outreach to reach people in the name of Jesus and to help people just see that everything you read and hear that's going on really bad in Washington, D.C., well, guess what? God is still in control, and there's a lot of really great praying people. Our leaders go to God, many of them, most of them, go to God every morning in prayer. They have prayer groups. They meet across party lines, which, wow, we would never, ever know that the news. But it's just very refreshing. So we just returned from that. We'll be going every single year. I just want to remind you, we have Facebook Live every Sunday morning since last Palm Sunday where Robert does a brief message. And that is at 8 a.m. Pacific every Sunday morning on Facebook Live, Robert Schuler Ministries. We're continuing to develop our courses, which are teaching mechanisms that are available through robertschulerinspiration.com. Our first course, 10 Steps to Emotional Healing, has been available for several months now. It's based on the 23rd Psalm, and we've just started working on Vital Living, Add Years to Your Life, and Life to Those Years with God's Health Plan, and we're working on that. We'll be probably releasing that in a few weeks. That'll be a 13-week course that is taught by Robert, and a few of the lessons I'll be teaching myself. Body, mind, spirit, health. Let's see. Robert's Sunday morning services are not part of that ongoing video project through robertschulerinspiration.com. I know it's kind of confusing, but everything we do is under the umbrella of the Robert Schuler Ministries, whether it's Schuler Help and trying to help people that are have substance abuse problems, or whether it's Robert Schuler Inspiration, or whether it's the Sunday morning Facebook Live or a podcast. And a reminder, this recording will be posted on Facebook forever and ever once we finish this live broadcast. It will also be recorded through this conference call that a lot of you are on here, and it will be on a podcast forever and ever. So the address for our podcast is robertschulerministries.podomatic. That's podomatic.com. robertschulerministries.podomatic.com. And again, I will have this posted on the Facebook, Robert Schuler Ministries Facebook, so you can get that. Chris, I'll be giving you a copy of that digitally so you can post it wherever you want and tell your friends. In case they miss this, they'll be able to hear a recorded version. And again, it's, you know, technology is great. It's going to be posted forever and ever. So we continue to help people through fantastic interview guests like Dr. Nippers, and we're internally grateful for that. Gosh, let's see. That's pretty much it as far as the update goes. Do you want to, Robert can take the offering.
Yeah, I'll take it.
You can take the offering.
This is a, in effect, we like to think of this as a church service. We don't have worship music. But other than that,
not allowed to.
Facebook takes it down. But other than that, we have scripture, we have prayer, we gather together, we have a testimony time,
and we have a little sermon,
and so then we have a little offering. And the offering, the way we collect our offering is we just ask you to go to our webpage, robertshulerministries.org. I probably have a...
You have a card.
I have a card here, robertshulerministries.org. Let me see here. It's it. Oh, no, that's for breakfast.
And on the front page,
you
can donate there.
robertshulerministries.org. And you, either that or you can write to us. Our address is Robert Shuler Ministries, 2128 Bay Point Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. That's Robert Shuler Ministries, 2128 Bay Point Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. Let's see what else we have.
Well, we want to say we have a lot of people to thank for supporting this ministry. These offerings really mean a lot to us. This is what we do, all of these ministry projects. If you're interested in our year-end report, we did just send it out to a few of our supporters. My dog right here. We just sent out to our year-end reporters what we accomplished in 2017. Write to us or let us know on Facebook, and we will actually post it on Facebook. There's a posting there. If you scroll down, you'll see it. It's what we accomplished in 2017. So we are truly grateful for your continued support of our ministry, which we've been doing this for about 8 years now.
Yeah.
So. Anyway.
So we just want to make sure you can have an opportunity to join us next month. If it's the 15th of the month,
it's time for the call
at 6 p.m. Pacific time.
Right.
So no matter where you are, just figure out where is it 6 p.m. Pacific time on the 15th, and we'll be here. Invite others to join. We just want to encourage you. You can forward this to others. You can post it if you'd like.
We're getting low batteries.
I know that.
Really low
batteries.
Okay. I don't know how that happens. Plugged into the board.
But anyway.
We want to thank Chris. Chris, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of our heart. You had great information. And thank you for what you've done for our family. Chris is, by the way, an excellent counselor. Excellent.
Thank you. It's just been great to meet you guys.
And you have the Spirit of God living within you, and we thank you for that, Chris. You mean a lot to us and our family. So thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for everybody for joining us. We just want to say have a great day. Until next time, God is blessing you
He is.
Through all things.
Always.
Amen.
Bye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.